There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Do you want to boost the economy like Taylor Swift? Do you want to run a business empire like Rihanna?
Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper.
Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
If it isn't my favorite little ninny.
If it isn't my favorite little nana. By the way, can I just say
Nancy
that we really
boy.
Stumbled, little Nancy boy, we stumbled on a really cool new sort of entertainment format, I think, you and I.
Which is, tell them all.
Which is the Honesty Zone on Instagram
yes,
Live.
Our weekly Honesty Zone.
It's not weekly, it's sort of irregularly scheduled. sort of schedules permitting, as Matt and I
Yeah, this is know. The part when I say that it's weekly. And then we have to like try to like do that every week and really can't fulfill that and disappoint
I
our
don't know.
Many legions of fans called the readers.
Called the readers. I think we can make it monthly, but basically it's called the Honesty Zone. It is not affiliated with Las Culturistas, but we will use this platform to promote it. But it's an Instagram live show where it's a competition between Matt and I to see who earns the most honesty stars.
Honesty points.
Much in the same
honesty
vein
stars.
As
legendary legend stars.
Legendary legends, honesty stars. We have Trixie Mattel. Trixie Mattel is finally putting out like fun, like rock music that could have been out of the Freaky Friday movie.
I am
it's
loving
so
it. It's
good.
Never been more Fountains of Wayne TBH.
It's Fountains of Wayne. Oh my God. No, we love Fountains of Wayne.
Every dude.
It's like one of my favorite
like,
bands
coming.
Of all time.
I know. So we talked about this on your last episode, your last iconic episode. Now, before we sort of like where all the piss streams cross and this becomes a piss moment,
piss
we
pool.
Are going to just say that our guest today is a returning guest, is a pop culture icon, singer, songwriter, Drag Race winner, and that's topical, I'll tell you that. Among other things, has a new show out on Discovery Plus, which is a goddamn delight. And it's called The Trixie Motel, and it documents and chronicles, really. And I think we need to be using the word chronicles more in the culture, just to be
absolutely.
Honest. It chronicles
absolutely.
The establishment of The Trixie Motel.
It's really, I loved it. We got to talk to our guest about this. I really enjoyed this whole fucking show. You better believe I watched the whole thing.
I watched it down.
Shed a tear at Danny and Phillip's wedding.
Not for nothing.
That was beautiful.
I thought it was beautiful. Am I allowed to talk? You guys still pretending?
Yeah.
I'm
yes! And everyone
okay,
well,
hold on.
Trixie Mattel.
Trixie Mattel.
Live from the road.
You know, I gotta say, I stalked you guys to come back on because I love you guys so much. I love.
Yeah, you wanted to promote your goddamn show on Discovery Plus. You fucked him.
That's exactly what happened. But you know what? Whenever I have something to promote, I have like a short list of things I actually like that people I actually know, and that's why I reach out to first. Because let the publicist do their thing. But I'm like, I'm my own publicist. I know people too.
Exactly.
You know.
Let me connect with the girls because we haven't seen you since our Italian feast.
Since Rouse. Since we went to Rouse that one night.
Yeah, oh, that's right. You know, so much has happened. What? When was that? It was right before I left for tour.
March. That was March. Yeah. You left for tour the next day.
Yeah, the night. I do believe you left right after that dinner.
I left right after. I left dinner to go. That was fun and magical, though. And you know what? I love inviting people to restaurants that are close to my house, regardless of the quality. And being like, absolutely. It's my favorite place, and it's a block away. You know what I mean?
That place was good, though. Yeah. I mean, we're giving them free promo right now. Rouse. Or is it Rayo's?
I don't know. Is there anybody Italian who can help us?
Who's Italian?
Matteo Lane a bit. It's a Rouse.
Matteo Lane is making a huge comeback in my algorithm. Like all my YouTube shit is saying, here's a Matteo Lane video. Cause he's full on doing channel content. He's so good at it. He's doing cooking tutorials. And we love Matteo Lane in this chat.
So funny. You know what he and I were just talking about? And this is like a side note. He and I just did Just for Laughs 2 nights ago. And we were like, we used to want to be like, I'm gay, but I appeal to everyone. Or like, I'm the gay guy who can perform in any room. And now I'm like,
no way.
If I don't make jokes that only gay people laugh at, I'm quitting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want alienation. Wow. I want it to fall on deaf ears. I want straight people to feel excluded by the content.
I mean, I always say, like, whenever I'm doing a show, I always do pull the crowd and I say, who's straight here? And then some of them even make noise, which I then sort of like unpack, like, look at you all, you straight people cheering for yourselves. And then I say, just kidding. I don't want anyone to be here and feel uncomfortable just because something is wrong with them. You know what I mean? Straight people, they have this disease, this affliction that is being straight. And I just, but I don't want in my show them to feel bad about that. But I don't care if they get the jokes. It's not for you.
Right. You see the straight girls get lost, and I'm like, sorry you don't know about poppers. Sorry they haven't done a mini challenge on Drag Race on the subject yet. But it's not my responsibility to educate you.
But straight girls have found poppers, though.
Yes, they have. Yes. What do you guys think is going on psychologically, spiritually, with people who do poppers in the middle of a night out at a club?
I do it.
I do it, but okay, and our guest has walked away.
We've done it together, Bon. Tricks, what?
I was DJing the other night, and somebody reached over the decks and was like, and I was like, are you on crack cocaine? He's like, get out of here. Like,
No, it's great, because there are songs that are popper songs. You know this, Tricks.
Charlie XCX.
Anything by Charlie.
A good puss by Cobra.
Yeah.
Yes.
Honey.
Do you know what I mean? Like, these are popper songs.
I mean, not for nothing, but a popper song can be anything you get excited about. I was at the Chicks the other night, and they played Sleep at Night, and I was ready to pop the poppers. How do you sleep at night? I wanted the poppers popped. Second verse of Not Ready to Make Nice, baby, pop the poppers. I'm saying, when you find out what happened to Earl, I'm fucking flying high. I'm soaring, flying.
It could be any, but that's a slippery slope. It could be like, oh, O'Reilly's. And you're like, oh, fuck. You know.
Zatarain's.
Zatarain's. Mama's got white, bright. Like, oh, fuck, get the popper. You know, it could be anything.
Stanley Steamers, tough under. Yeah.
I want to pop the popper to Stanley Steamers so bad. Anytime you listen to a radio station, it's like 106.1 BLI. You're in your car, going through your fucking, like, cabinets. Like,
open the glove box. No, not even that. You have a wet rag, like that movie with the guy in the club sniffing the rag. Like, you know,
what movie is that? Oh my God.
Al Pacino, right? He plays a hustler.
Hustler?
No, he plays like a gay hustler who like is murdering people, right? I don't know.
Al Pacino played a gay hustler who was murdering people?
I think so. I don't know.
Look it up.
That's the title of that. A gay hustler who murders people is the title of your second app. That's what you are.
Al Pacino's queer film, Cruising. Pacino plays Steve Burns, a detective trying to solve a series of homosexual murders. He goes undercover pretending to be a gay S&M person.
I love that.
Whoa.
And there's a scene where he's like dancing in a club sniffing a rag. Like,
Oh my God. Yeah, like a gay guy.
Yeah, he's goony. Gooning.
He's gooning.
Gooning.
Oh
gooning.
My God. Like, wait, the gays. That is the word for what we do in the club. The gays, we get together and
bring
we're gooning.
Gooning back. Bring the word gooning and baiting. Back.
Gooning and baiting.
Gooning
with
and baiting. You know what? Wait. You know what I'm worried that I was talking to Mary Beth Barone and she wants to bring back geeks as an insult. Like, you're a fucking geek. Like, get out of my face.
Yeah, geek. I love that.
Yeah, people have been way too proud of that for too long.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's nerds. Now like nerds, people are like, I'm a nerd. And like, there's like a pridefulness about it, which like, great, good for you. But geeks is like, there's no way you make that seem cool.
No, that's what sucks about the internet is anyone can have a community now and feel empowered. Anyone can get online and find an online community and feel empowered. So you have these geeks and these nerds getting together in their geek and nerd communities, and suddenly they're walking into school with their heads held high. And I think it's disgusting. And what I have to say to them is, you're geeks. You're fucking geeks.
Well, I also don't like hot, cool people who like exploit one avenue of their personality that might be slightly geeky, and they're like, I'm such a dork.
Yeah, I know.
I'm such a
I know.
Fucking nerd.
It's Pokemon for these gay guys. Yep. Gay men, the first thing they go to is Pokemon. And I say that as a Pokemon fan for life, but like,
yeah, who's also one of the coolest people in America, Bowen.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
that's you. The thing. But unless you have a Twitch channel where you live open Pokemon cards 8 hours a day, you are not a nerd. You know what I mean? No. Show me the real tea.
Show me the real receipts.
Show me the squirrel tattoo on your face, bitch. Show me the real tea.
Wow. Shit.
Okay. Wow. But is there, have you done that before? Like, is there one thing about you that you have? Like, for you, is it like, well, I like folk music. Did you ever use that as like a geek nerd card?
No one thinks liking folk music is cool. People who do folk music don't think it's cool. It's a little like musical theater where people, even people who do it are like, isn't it fucking dumb? I mean,
yeah.
And also a lot of people who do electronic music and stuff, EDM, they started in real instruments, folky shit. And then at some point a flip switch, like they turn, folk is their past and their beginning. And then they turn to like EDM, popper music.
Like Maggie Rogers, TBH.
Popper music.
Yeah, I remember reading an interview about Moby, like saying that he like went to a gay club and heard like house music for the first time in his complete like desire and music changed.
Yeah.
He was like, I want to do house music.
I think that's a real thing about Maggie Rogers too. Like she went to school, like because she went to the Clive Davis school at NYU, which is like very, very tough to get into. Like they genuinely try to prepare people to become like recording superstars and like big producers. And she was like a folk artist, period. And then being in the city, I think she was exposed to like club music. And that's when she did her thing and had her like iconic YouTube clip with Pharrell where she was playing her song for him and he was like, who the fuck is this girl? And then she became MR.
Totally. Yeah, folk music. I mean, I don't have anything like that. I mean, drag, well, I mean, drag wasn't very cool till recently. So, I mean, there
now
was
the president does drag. You know what I mean? Like, that's like,
that, girl, right, everyone does. Everyone does drag. Everyone has
Barbie,
a wig from
Barbie's
Amazon.
It's Barbie's for you. It's right.
Oh, it's definitely Barbie's. Because people are like, I love Barbie. And I'm like, but where were you in 1962 with fashion queen? You know what I mean? Like, because I really know
when
about
fashion
Barbie's.
Queen Barbie hit the scene.
The way you I'm showed about, off fashion queen Barbie.
Yes.
On the show.
Yes.
With James.
Yes. The way I'm going to go to like, it's like when nerds go to superhero movies and they hate it no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's going to be me with the Barbie movie. I'm going to be like.
Are you excited and thrilled?
I'm excited and thrilled because I love anything about something I love. No one hates The Sims more than Sims fans. No one hates Drag Race more than Drag Race fans. No one hates Stephen King adaptations more than Stephen. So I don't participate in loving something and therefore hating it. I think that's psychotic.
Love that.
And you know what? That's really important. And that's actually something about stan culture that I'm like, if you were a real stan, and I'm just going to bravely say this right now, okay? A real Taylor stan would want her to not fly in that private jet as much as she does. A real Taylor stan would be like, reduce the emissions, mama. And some of these stan Twitter threads are like it's so funny to watch these stan Twitter threads that are like a thread of Taylor supporting the environment. Taylor's lyrics are said to say things about trees. Taylor released the album Folklore in 2020, and it was very much taking place in the woods, which is the environment. It's like which is trees, actually. So she never got on a plane ever in her life. And I'm just like, guys, it's okay to stan someone, and I think this is important, and also hold them to account. It's like when you're being a friend and you see that your friend is in trouble, a real friend says something, period.
It's also okay to like someone's art and not personally co-sign on every moral decision they've ever made.
Absolutely.
like the way now we require people we stand to have the same beliefs. We even require corporations to have values. We require Kleenex during the month of June to show us that they like gay people or we
get mad.
To pop
their pussy.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me if Coca-Cola says they like gay people. That's not a person. That's not even like, what are we talking about?
It's actually real culture number four. Coca-Cola?
Cola?
That's not, that's not a person.
Person.
Yeah. Every Pride Month, it's like, we're ready to show that, you know, Nike is fierce. And I'm like, it's a shoe, Mary. And it's a flat.
It's a flat.
It's not even a heel. Going back to the Barbie thing, I think you did have a quote or something about Margot Robbie that I loved, because you were like, when I think of Margot Robbie, I think relatable. That's my grandma. That's my aunt.
That's my aunt. Yes,
I know. You know, I did get called in, of course. And you know, she and I get seen in a lot of the same rooms. Do you know what I mean?
Like, sure.
It's always like,
they're looking
me.
For a Barbie type. It's either going to be Margot Robbie or Trixie Mattel.
It's crazy that you were not asked to be in the movie though, Trixie.
That is
well, it's like everybody and their mother is in it.
It's so true.
Her, Samara Weaving, you know what I mean? Like Naomi Watts for some time, like we'd all be, and it's like, hey,
Samara Weaving.
Who might be Margot Robbie.
She just shot up in bed and is like, huh? Someone? Samara Weaving's ears are burning. Oh, I hope she is. Love you, Samara.
So, but I didn't get asked to be in the movie, but I will say, and I believe in predicting the future, when the comes time to promote that movie, you know this whore's going to get a call. You know I'm going to go do some red carpet where I have to be like, you know, what was it like putting on a blonde wig? You know, like, of course. And I'll do it.
Your rate has to be so... No, but you have to do it for so much money.
But I'm going to tell you, because I'm a person in a wig, the opening call will be, it's a great opportunity for you. We don't have budget at this time, but we do need you to fly yourself to North Korea. And we need you to interview Margot Robbie while jumping out of a plane.
Uh-huh. And it's a great opportunity. And please look absolutely fabulous. The tricks that we know on TV. That's what we want to see. Yeah.
And we do need you to submit four outfits for approval 3 months in advance. It's literally going to be that. I mean, it's crazy. But good for them.
Good for them. Can I ask, was that your decision to be... Well, you were EPing on the show, but was that your decision to be in drag for most of Trixie Mattel?
Yes, I wanted to be in drag all the time originally. Unfortunately, because originally David and I conceived the show. We created it and conceived it. Like, we were watching, like, My Life on the D-List, The Simple Life, The Comeback, and Brady Renovation. So, like, there's the Reno element with the camp element. And then there's parts in the show where we're kind of playing reality show. Like, it's a little bit the office sometimes.
My favorite parts of the fucking show were when you guys were pretending to be on a reality show. Does that make sense?
We are. I mean, yes. There's a part in the last episode. It opens with me, Emily Hampshire from Schitt's Creek, checking in.
Right.
And we do like an improv comedy scene, basically, where I trick her into working at the motel. And it's like, well, I'm the person in a wig. And pretending to be real is my reality in drag. So we can sort of do reality TV skit as reality TV, because it is real. I mean, we did spend $2 million on a building that we had to renovate. That was all real. So we already had enough reality, you know, but we love doing like I just love being in drag as much as I could. Unfortunately, it was Palm Springs and it's renovations. So, I can't sit there and do manual labor and drag, you know, it's too much.
With no AC or whatever. But like,
yeah, and I did a lot of it. I mean, if you watch like the time lapse sections, it'll be like the sun going down and you'll see me in a room painting a mural for hours, like running around with fast motion.
Mm.
So it's not like we did it was also like a balancing act, because I said this affectionately to the friends at Discovery Plus. I said, well, I'm not like other Reno talent. I have a career. Like, I have a job. So, like, in addition to renovating this, I have to go do other comedy gigs and the makeup company. And, like, so half the show probably has to be following me to my other jobs. Because I'm not just, like, pretending to paint and then they all cut and I go sit on a beanbag chair for 2 days, you know?
No, this is your actual thing.
And it's our real building, our real business. So, like, we had to spend $500,000 on just rent. I mean, it's a myth that renovation television, they give you a bunch of money and do everything for free.
No,
that is not true.
It was your own budget. That was your own money.
Yes. I mean, they do things like trade outs. Like, for example, let's say you're redoing your kitchen and Black & Decker wants to give you a free fridge and stuff.
Right.
And that's great. Or Dunn Edwards wants to donate the paint for your living room. Like, you definitely can get items more than you get a giant wire transfer to use as you please. Like, that's
Lisa Vanderpump actually gift? Were those actual yes. gifts?
Yes. That she was said, the production? Well, when I pitched it to her, I was like, you know, we're all going to do, like, it's going to be a little bit Trixie's famous friends forced into manual labor. I mean, that's kind of the energy, yeah. right? You have, like, love Nicole Byer showing up in full hair and makeup. And love. She's like, so what are we doing? And I said, here's a brush. yeah. And she's mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. oh, we're real. Or, like, Orville Peck. I'm like, here's a hammer. We're really doing this.
yeah.
But Vanderpump was like, I'm not doing that. She was like, she's like, I'll buy you something. I said,
yeah, we can go shopping, darling.
Yeah. But she's not, you know, she's very involved in her businesses, but she's, I don't think I'm going to get her on her hands and knees pulling up, you know, Tongue and Groove.
She laid every brick at Sir, though. That was every yeah. brick at Sir.
Completely. I mean, she is very self-sufficient, though. I mean, she's arguably the richest, most famous person we had on the show.
Yeah.
And she's the only one who drives themselves, insists on doing their own hair and makeup, and didn't require, like...
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah, she's...
cool.
And then I've learned through producing now that the newest, youngest celebrities are the most insane with their demands, and the oldest, most established celebrities are like, I'll drive myself. It's fine. Yeah. I don't need hair and makeup.
Yeah.
You want to know what it is? I bet that the novelty of getting all that shit is just over for them because it just means they have to talk to more people. And she's like, no.
Exactly.
Because you do realize, like, when they do, like when it is really involved, like, these new people who are, like, not used to being driven places and have hair and makeup and, like, the snacks of it all and the being handled, it's, like, exciting for them. Meanwhile, Lisa Vanderpump's like, yeah, no. I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm coming, we're shopping, and I'm out.
Yeah, she also, because I was producing the show, and she also knows, like, it's all my own money and my own budget, so she was mm-hmm. like, whatever saves you the most money, whatever's easiest, you know.
That's awesome.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Bursts.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Well, spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too?
With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest.
And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or a home.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Take back your finances. Build credit using your own money.
Yeah. Did you know that with Chime Credit Builder that you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
I did. You can also overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at Chime.com/culturistas. That's Chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently, so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
I specifically love the parts that were like playing reality, you and David specifically, where it was like, you know, you would like get the news that the permits or the licenses weren't working out in the way that they were supposed to. And then it would cut away to you guys in the confessional. And then you would turn to David and be like, David, you didn't tell me that the liquor licenses had to be signed in blood or whatever, like, you know, or whatever the hell. It was like, it was very cute. And I don't mean that in a patronizing way, but I was just like, oh, this is a lovely viewing experience.
Well, David didn't even want to be on the show. I mean, David's a producer. He never wanted to be on camera. He never wanted to be on the show. Originally, when I pitched the show, it was kind of me and my assistant, a little bit like the comeback.
Yeah.
But then because it's, you know, renovation is sort of family based, right? Your home or your business is about your
personal stakes.
Yes. So then they're like, well, your partner who's producing the show really owns half the business, really is in it with you. And they're like, well, he needs to be on it. So then I turn to David, who's nervous, sweaty, and camera shy, and be like, you have to be on this show now. It's funny that I have so many friends who would shoot someone to be on television.
Yeah.
And then David, who earnestly doesn't want to be, is forced into every scene.
Stardom was calling for him.
It's so funny. He, like, him in interviews, just sweating.
You never know when fame is going
to
come knocking.
Yeah, he's really funny. And, you know, he just wanted to make the show. And watching him be forced into being in it is really funny to me. Because he doesn't want to be on it.
I mean, I also, just, like, I don't think I understood in the beginning that, like, this was I understood it as an actual, when the show was first announced, I was like, oh, that won't be something you can actually stay in. And then it's like, absolutely something you can actually stay in. And you know, I was on the website yesterday looking at rates.
Me too.
And I literally said to my group chat, I'm like,
roast me.
No, girl. First of all, I'm not dragging. I'm saying I'm getting a gay army together and I'm taking over the Trixie Motel. I think it's going to happen in November.
You should. We've only been opening it like a couple months in advance because we're really trying to prioritize people who want to rent like the whole thing for their friends for the weekend.
I think that is the smart thing because it is so fun. And I have to just say, like, I was sitting here drinking my weed seltzer, fucking basking in it. It is so gorgeous to look at.
It's
just like so every pretty. Single room like is so fun. And I honestly was having a really hard time picking a favorite. I do think that like there is something to the Malibu Barbara room. I really, really respond to that because I feel like I can't book the Oh Honeymoon Suite for myself, but everyone, you got to go on the website, Trixie Motel. And honestly, this would be a really fun thing to do with all your friends, but look at all the pictures, obviously watch the show, but like you can see on the whole website. The website, by the way, is amazing.
Gorgeous.
Like really well laid out.
Thank
like very,
you.
Very like just, you're so good at all this, but like it was really fun to like engage with it while I was watching because I was getting excited about a Palm Springs getaway. And my question for you is, can you play music outside?
Because it's a commercial space, you can't.
Fuck yeah.
Wow.
This is what I'm saying.
So if nobody knows, I'm sure you guys have talked about it because you guys visit PS. You in a rental, you guys get kicked out of a rental.
Oh,
They got kicked out.
Got kicked the fuck out
for
of a rental.
For playing music on an iPhone.
In the middle right? of a lip sync competition.
Outside.
Yes. My friend Chris Liker was dressed as a cat and he had to go to the door and field the... The leasing person saying, not only are you not allowed to do this, but you all have to leave within the hour. Pack up your shit now. No second chances. It was really crazy. And if you are going to Palm Springs and you think, oh, it won't happen to us, listen to my voice, the voice of truth.
It will happen to you, honey. You are in danger, girl.
We will be offering a lot of... Well, first of all, we have like the Disneyland Rocks thing where music plays from somehow nowhere. We have that.
Love
in addition to that, we have a lobby that you could throw... You could put a disco ball up in there and throw a dance party inside if you want like more of a vibe. We also have things like a movie theater screen that you can put up by the pool with a projector so you can put on a movie of choice and swim and drink and watch your favorite movie with your friends.
I mean,
David and I used to go to Palm Springs and our options were either stay in a soulless Airbnb that's clearly a rental owned by rich fags where I can get literally kicked out from my phone ringing too loud.
Yeah.
Or stay in a rotted boutique motel that was gutted or the Margaritaville, which is fine, but like the flip-flop is a stiletto at the Margaritaville. That's all I'm going to say. So...
That's for roller culture. It's roller culture number 44. The flip-flop is the stiletto of Margaritaville.
Margaritaville.
And honestly, we love Palm Springs and we love that the gay men there are in their 60s, living their 20s, and it's timeless. Everybody is sun damaged like an old leather bag, but presenting the spirit of a 16-year-old girl. And we honestly, like, we wanted to contribute something that we felt like was glaringly missing. Mm-hmm. And nobody's more 60s in California than Trixie. So it was like, this is...
It's perfect.
We were looking at... we were on Zillow and I was looking at domestic like listings because I thought I'd just get a pink place and make it a house that's pink and I put some, you know... And that motel showed up because it was zoned as condos. We didn't even look at other...
Really?
...commercial properties. So it was like fate. Like the universe presented me with a 7-room pink motel and I was like, it's a long shot. We just got to look at it. I was like, look at it. Yeah. And so then, you know, David went without me and looked. He was like, this place has like a magic. He was like, we have to do this. I mean, you know, we've done a lot of weird things with Trixie over the years, like, you know, the makeup company or albums and stuff. But a motel was really a hard left. But once we started, I was like, this feels exactly Trixie.
Like, it all makes sense. It 100%. All works in the ethos of Trixie.
Yeah, because Trixie's sort of a... In addition to being blonde in California in 60s, she's sort of at her heart like an earnest capitalist, too. You know, in a fantasy. But she's a little bit Mickey Mouse where it's like, it's earnest and it's also trying to sell you something. But knowingly. Also with Palm Springs, again, I love Palm Springs. And it was a rock and a hard place between a rental I didn't want to stay in or a motel I didn't want to stay in. And it was like, well, let's make something that is really going to gag the children. And every room, my face, even though I knew what the designs were and a lot of them I participated in making them, walking into them furnished, every time I was like, we are about to snap on all these hoes.
And there is something inherently vacation about Trixie too. Like Trixie is resort. Like in fact, wasn't one of your intro looks like as if weren't you in resort wear?
Yeah. A swimsuit.
Yeah. Like it was giving like, I'm here for vacation. Like it really is like one of those things that it seems like you stumbled into because not only were all the opportunities there, but also it is one of those things where it's just like pretty perfect branding wise.
Yeah. I mean, even the character of Barbie's from a fictional small town in Wisconsin and moves to California, like Malibu to pursue their dreams. So like even that to me was like, okay, I'm actually from small town Wisconsin. And there's something about Trixie, even though I'd never really been to Palm Springs, by the time I started going there, it was like, I found the characters like home. It was like, because everything's 60s there.
Right. And so it feels like, Bowen, it feels like every Bowen. Room. What?
Bowen, your audio was slow for a second and you were going, and it went like this.
It went for like,
we were laughing.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fierce.
Can we capture that, Doug? I would love to. Roll it now. Play it now. Okay, cool.
And also, like, there's something, it's also the paradox of being earnestly capitalist like Trixie, but Trixie's still a queer small business.
Yes.
So, like,
it's not nefarious. It's not evil.
No, it's like, I can give you something really cunty. And also, part of the threads of drag is money. Someone comes out and drag, you give them money. It's part of the exchange is money.
Yes. Yeah.
It's part of the art of drag.
Is making the dollar.
Yeah. And then even like, you know, the motels in Palm Springs are priced. It's a vacation town in California.
Yeah.
The motels for what they're priced, I just always felt like they weren't giving. And so I was like, let's do something at this Palm Springs price point that actually is giving. Not to mention every room is giving different. Like you only get Malibu Barbara is totally different than Atomic Bombshell.
Yeah.
Totally.
Atomic Bombshell is my favorite.
Is
I
really?
Stay there. Yeah. The colors are gorgeous in Atomic Bombshell.
They're all really good. Malibu Barbara, I'll say that I didn't anticipate that being a lot of people's favorites, but that was people's, like, they love it. And then Atomic Bombshell, we knew just because it was kind of boyish in a way, we were like, people are going to love this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it genuinely close to Hunters and, like, all those places? Like, is it, like...
Maybe 5 minutes up the street.
Yeah, love it.
Wow.
Yeah. You get to town and you take a right. It's right there.
Mm. Wow. It was listed as a condo, but then did you have to, like, go through rezoning shit for it to be, like, a commercial thing or no?
No, it's listed as both. And if you watch the show, you'll notice a lot of our trials and tribulations have to do with permitting. I mean, Palm Springs is...
It's a nightmare.
Yep.
Yeah. The mayor of Palm Springs told me in an episode, she said... she's a former mayor. She was the first queer female mayor, I think, in California. And she said, Palm Springs is like no place else and we want to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Which is why they are rigid. If you want to paint your front door in Palm Springs, you need approval. The exact shade, everything. And when we painted the motel, the city said they didn't like it and they were going to start fining us every month. And I said, how much is the fine? I don't care if it drains us like a swamp. I'm not changing the color of this motel.
Is it currently draining you like a swamp? Are you paying for it?
No. They changed their mind, I think, but like, but there's a lot of things. Like, for example, we removed one of the, drains in the pool and then found out that was code. So one day we woke up to a sign that said like, you're in violation of the city. So then we had to drain the pool, put in another drain, little things you never think of. Our original idea was to put my eyes in a mural on the bottom of the pool, but it's a safety hazard because it can obstruct the view of someone drowning.
Palm Springs is very strict.
Yeah, I honestly, the music thing I was genuinely thinking about because I was like, if this has to be a silent thing, like that I think would hurt it. But the fact that you have Disneyland rocks and that we're calling them Disneyland rocks really makes me very happy. And the fact that they're on premises is mage. It's mage.
Well, I don't think you can go wild. Like, we can't do Thumpa Thumpa. But like some of my dreams of the motel is to do appearances but not tell anyone. So if it's particularly booked, my dream is to like at 9 a.m. on a Sunday, bring my turntables out there and start DJing and just have people like, come out, wherever you are.
Or like Dolly showing up to Dollywood.
Yeah, or like me in a maid outfit, just cleaning rooms that day. Like, I want people to be gagged by oh, this person's really here. Because one thing we didn't have to inflate making the show was the stakes. This is our real money. This is our real business. Not to mention, doing business with your partner introduces a lot of stress. Introduces a lot of, you really start to see the things you love about each other turn into the things you
really
stress out about
each other. You really start to see the cracks. You see the cracks starting to show and it is go time on your relationship. That's why I always say couples should go on reality television to face the ultimate test.
I've worked in hospitality, like through gay bars and stuff. I've been a delivery driver, a dishwasher, a server, a shot girl. And applying that, like pre-Drag Race, working in... Nobody mentions that pre-Drag Race... We are bar employees.
Right,
we
exactly.
all work in hospitality. Yes. In post-Drag Race, I've been to every gay bar on the planet. I've stayed in every motel and hotel in every city. So what better way to apply all that knowledge than to open like a, basically like a mini queer Dollywood.
Yeah.
And be like, I'm going to avenge all the wrongs I've ever been wrong in places by making it fierce.
And of course, treat your employees like the shit you were treated. Really just drag them.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you this. It is hard to hire in Palm Springs. It's a town of people on vacation, people who are retired, and there's quite a fierce drug problem in Palm Springs. So
it's not everyone's resume is screaming out, hire me.
Yeah, their resume is just screaming because they're outside your house screaming, and the break-ins. And Palm Springs is stunning to look at, but it has its own social problems. I mean, California itself in many areas is a living, breathing human rights violation.
Oh, yeah.
And Palm Springs is not immune to that. So even hiring the right people, it was almost like we finished the renovation and we wrapped the series. And it was like, and Dave and I standing there in this literal palace where everything is perfect. And then we're like, we have to open this now. Now we have to let people walk around in here.
Yeah, I know. That's a thing.
All my gay friends being like, the way I'm going to come to your motel and fucking get plugged. I'm like, everybody's like threatening to defile the motel. Everyone's like, the way I'm getting fisted in the, like, I'm like, okay, lay down a tarp. Or people are like, I have friends making lists of the things they're going to steal. And I'm like,
no.
Iggy Azalea, who in the series, she was a former motel cleaner, and she comes into
the scene. Oh, yeah, she can really make a bed. That was incredible.
She has hospital corners. She has the hospital corners down.
Yes, and that's the thing about anybody in entertainment. We all have some hospitality bones in us, right? Because we all have done
it. Yeah.
And it was interesting watching Iggy, who is kind of a living, breathing Betty Boop or Angeline or something, watching her come in with this real world knowledge. And she's just like, oh, everything in your room, it's going to get stolen. If it's not getting stolen, it's getting cum on it. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. That's
and she's like, my biggest
forget.
Thing is have doubles of everything. And I'm like, everything in here is one of a kind.
Yeah, there's no doubles. You
Am
really
I supposed to call
doubles.
Jonathan Adler and say, can you send me another $4,000 dresser, please?
Once you stay in a hotel, you realize how much cum is all over everything. Because when you're in the hotel room, you're the one producing the cum. And I never come more than when I'm in a hotel room. It's just sort of the truth of my life. And so to think that when I'm checking into a place, it hasn't been absolutely desecrated by the pig that was in there before me is just, it's just not the truth.
And not just my cum. And also like, I'm what, it's, you know, people go to hotels and wipe their asses with towels. Do you know what I mean? Like people, hotels are... In a way, they're inviting you to do things that you wouldn't do in your own home.
Yeah, because you don't have to deal with it after.
Yes, and I hope that because, I mean, at this place, you're basically sleeping in an art installation. I hope that we discourage people from being too gross. But you never know. You never know.
You never know.
Wasn't Iggy the one on the show who was like, people behave anonymously in these hotel rooms or in any hotel room because they feel like they can't. And that's why that just like brings out every dark instinct in your mind.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like when you get in drag, you become another person. When you hit a hotel, it's weird because you're giving them your first and last name and your credit card on file. Why would that encourage you to act foolish and break things and get feces on things? I don't know. You're not anonymous. Not to mention, they have a way to financially charge you for your wrongdoing. So I don't know why we go so YOLO at hotels. But
the other day, I was in a hotel in Chicago, and I swear to God, it was pristine. It was like a nice hotel. I won't say where or what it was for, but it's pristine. And I look over, and on the shower wall is just a clump of hair, like from one of those like scary movies. It was like Insidious. It was like a clump of hair just like hanging on the wall, like very much like a long haired woman was in this shower. And like, I don't know how this happened with her hair, but it was clumped on the wall. And it was just so shocking because everything else was an Iggy Azalea folded corner. Everything else was like truly lickety. Motherfucking split, and there was a chunk of hair on the wall, and I was just looking at it like, and I just stood in the shower and looked at it long enough where I was like, can I shower with this next to me, or am I gonna have to not shower right now to call someone up and explain what this is and get this taken care of? Ultimately, I did stand in the shower next to the chunk, but I was not happy about it, and I actually never reported it.
Well, you know, it wasn't me, you know,
wasn't
but also, I mean. It could be anyone. But listen, people with long hair have about as much understanding of how crazy and gross their hair is as smokers do of how much they smell like smoke. Smokers are like, oh, well, I had a mint. I'm like, okay. So now you smell like someone shoved a Tic Tac in the end of a burning cigarette. Like, you smell the same.
You still smell. Yeah.
When I worked at the Mac counter, I remember my assistant manager, she would... I've never really understood smoking. And I guess when I was younger, I didn't really know. You don't never know if you're talking to a smoker when you say something, right? So I remember she was like, do you smoke at the interview? And I said, no. Like I said it like she asked like if I snarled. Kill people. Yeah, I was like, no. And she was like, well, some of us do. So just like, you know. And I remember she was one of those smokers who like every hour, right?
Yeah.
Every hour. And I feel sort of up and down about the ethics of smoking at work. And like, if I want to go kick rocks outside once an hour, I should be fucking allowed to too, right? But if you are doing someone's makeup, you're touching their face. Yeah. You're touching their face. And you're like, well, I ate a mint. Mary,
yeah, back
your
up.
Hands, your hands. It's hammer time, bitch. Like, wash that hair, mama. Come back in a towel.
It's one of the things about cigarette use that is a lingering thing that no one can say there. It does have an odor.
At least with, and now I work with Katya, so like, you know, I've seen fire and rain as far as smoking. At least Katya's the only one I know who like is a smoker, and she's like, yeah, the smell. She's like, I know it's horrible. You know, it's you have to really.
But it doesn't help. Sure, but like acknowledging it does not solve the problem. Sorry, Katya.
I'm just happy with her that smoking is the most self. If that's her biggest self destruction that day, I'm like.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I get on Bowen about his cigarette smoking, but then
do
I
you
will
smoke
say,
Bowen?
He does.
Not anymore.
So sorry for just monologuing about that in front of you. Do you see what I mean?
Trust me. But identifying as a smoker also like means that you just have to take it like a champ whenever someone like goes into a diatribe about how bad smoking is. Because you know that it's awful.
I also drink, and it's like, well, you can't be in illusions about that either, right? Like drinking's not
right,
good
right,
for you.
Right, right, right.
If you got drunk the night before, you definitely don't smell good the next morning. Oh, that takes me back to college. I remember this one kid. Like, we would go to ballet at like 8:30 in the morning on a Friday, and people would smell like Thirsty Thursday, and you would smell like the beer coming out of their pores, and you're like, ugh.
I've been that person. I was that person when I was younger.
Yes, it's
and
horrible.
That's because it's like, and that's why I like always like check myself after I do get on Bowen about a smoking, because then when we were in the Pines, like this last time, I was pretty much smoking cigarettes all day, every day. Like I filed
more than me.
I don't know about that. Bowen, you do smoke a lot when you are smoking. Like you, there is like,
when I smoke, I smoke. Yeah.
When
yeah.
you are smoking, you're smoking a lot. And so that week, I don't know why I filed it away in my brain. Like, this is going to be my cigarette week. And I literally have not since and don't have a desire to, but I will say like, I understood for a second the thing of needing to literally blow off steam. And the only time I got into a little altercation with someone, I was smoking a cigarette. And I think, honestly, that's enough for me to be like, no, it makes you like one of those bitches who sits there and smokes and fights. Like, you can't smoke cigarettes. There's something about like the glamour and attitude of it for me that I literally started in with our friend James Scully on something he said. I like to pop off at him. And he was like, are we doing Housewives right now? And I was like, I literally stopped myself immediately. I was like, yeah, I don't know what, I think it's the cigarette. I'm so sorry.
Yes. Oh my God. Like two puffs in, you're like 3, 2, 1. I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny is like the most toxic anything. Like,
well,
just
I literally said
funny.
To him, the line I said was, and it was a Housewives line, it was everything was going fine until you said that stupid shit.
Jesus.
And he was like, oh, are we doing Housewives? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry now.
Oh my God, it was like a Reefer Madness or like anti-smoking PSA. Like, yes, they should show that for anti-smoking. Like, somebody snapping. It's almost like the, you become a real diva when you're hungry,
you
like Snickers
a
commercial.
Bitch, yeah.
Like, you having two puffs of a cigarette and then like a housewife's like throwing wine glass and smashing it.
Yeah.
I haven't been keeping up with the program.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season two of Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launch and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season two of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say, did I tell you guys about the Bravo pilot I did?
No.
No.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm just going to say it.
Just say it.
So during COVID, I had the pleasure of being part of a pilot that was supposed to be a show that was going to have housewives of different franchises competing in food and drink sort of nailed it style challenges against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Girls from different franchises being like, today you have to cook this food, you have to make this drink, and you have to set the table, and then judges will like decide who was the ultimate housewife.
Yeah, I love it.
And I didn't have ever seen Housewives. And that's when I started texting you, Matt, that I was like, I'm watching Housewives for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So then I had to binge a bunch of it. And that's how I even found out who Lisa was. Because I didn't, when I met her, I'd never seen
the show. I remember when you were watching the early seasons of Beverly Hills and you were sort of falling in love with Lisa as you were working with her in real life. And it seems like that actually is a warm, good relationship, which makes me LVP more.
Oh, LVP is like the most real bitch friend I have. And you know, she's a drag queen entirely. But it was weird knowing her and then reading her origin story at the same time. It was like,
yeah, exactly. You know.
But if you're saying, I hope it sees the light of day and I hope I don't get in trouble. But there was a housewife, Karen Huger from Potomac.
Yep.
And we got to do an episode with her. And I don't think it'll ever see the light of day. Let's just say allegedly. This allegedly happened.
Yeah,
allegedly happened. And let's say allegedly, she had to cook food and started her kitchen on fire during the episode.
Oh my God, Karen, that needs to be on television. That needs to be, because that is, and now I'm thinking what she looks like in my mind trying to put out a fire in the kitchen, and it's must-see TV. It's Frasier, the show. That's how funny it is. It's as funny as Frasier to think about.
Well, I think that in Housewives world, there's no happy medium. There's the women who cooking is their art almost.
Kyle Richards.
And there's the women who are like, I can't fucking turn the stove on.
Lisa Rinna.
It's no medium.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I guess, especially through the business, creating the motel business, that's something Vanderpump is a really good resource on, because she, you know, does the menus at her restaurants. The drink menus.
You don't serve food, though. It's just a bar.
It's a bar. It's going to be a bar for the guests. And then we will work out some sort of, like, food from other places program.
Because
if you want, you know, you have to have the square footage. Palm Springs is small. Our property is small. You can't even build new structures 25 feet from the curb. I had to learn all the rules of Palm Springs.
Whoa, 25 feet. Okay, sure.
I love Palm Springs, though. Where do you guys like to go when you're there?
I mean, see, Bowen hasn't gone as much as I've gone. My favorite bar there is Quads. I love Quads. I love screaming along to musical theater. I took you there, right, Bo?
You did. It was fun.
And this is why I also like, what is it? Show Tune Sundays in the Pines. Like, I love anything where faggots can get together and scream these stupid songs. Like, I want to see a bunch of faggots, like, scream along to Somewhere That's Green.
Like, that's like just, that's
exactly, musical, you know what I mean? And then when it gets a little too weird and everyone's like, huh? Like, I love those moments where it's like this. It's not even like all that jazz. It's Class from Chicago. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, oh, I love
it. It's the seasides. And I love it. I love it when it gets weird at those things. I love a show tune in a bar. I do.
Or like they put on the Jennifer Hudson, I'm telling you, I'm not going. And some bag is like, it's shit about giving me the Jennifer Holiday. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like,
and then that's a conversation.
Yeah.
There is nothing like Somewhere That's Green coming on and a bunch of loud fags going,
exactly.
And like crying and then going back to like sucking cock at the bar. Like, good for
yeah, them. Like, I need a hero is the next song. And you're like, okay, now we're here. Whoa.
Little, I kind of have turned on musical theater, and but the Little Shop of Horrors is my all-time favorite. And it gives what it needs to give. I don't know if you guys have ever read the libretto of that. It reads like surgery. Like, she says this line, she takes two steps and then turns and says this line, which is why every performance of it and production of it, no matter what the scale, is base level good. Because the music and the storytelling is good. So it's not relying on a star or a big budget. It's just a good story with good music, with good jokes.
It's Howard Ashman. It's like, oh, it's so good. Like, the writing is so genius. Good.
Then you realize it is Howard Ashman and you're like, oh, of course this is genius. But Trixie, Conrad Riccamora from the movie, like, did the off-Broadway one that's on now and it's over, but he was stunning and that was the last time I'd seen it, but it really is good every time. I will say it does get a little too fucking weird for me in terms of the plot, like in act two. I'm sort of just like,
in act two, right, act now, two gets crazy.
I mean, act one though is like perfect, I will say, but act two story-wise for me, like, it gets weird, but that music is truly, you saw her.
It's unbelievable. And I remember, not to be a nerd, but I wrote, when I was in college during musical theater history, I had to do like a big deep dive on a musical. And of course I picked that one. And like, I remember watching a video interview of Ellen Green saying that like, she was thinking she kind of got the role and she was pretty sure she got it. And they were kind of like creating the role and kind of casting her. But not, she said the first time she sang Somewhere That's Green, her, Alan, and Howard sat and cried afterwards. Because I think that she knew and they knew, like, they just created like a masterwork.
Yep, something.
Because she created it as much as they did, you know. And
of course.
And you guys know, a few years ago, she's just doing it with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
Fucking icon, dude. And like playing a character like that, that's basically like a Betty Boop inflation, but rooted in like real. Like, it's real for them. I remember, it's so annoying, but I hate musical theater. But when I was in college, I remember they were like, you're playing things real in unrealistic scenarios.
Yeah.
And like, Little Shop of Horrors is exactly that. Like, it's real for them.
Yeah.
Oh, I recently watched Watchmen for the first time, the series. And it's like that too, where it's like inflated situations, but they play it like real.
You know? Yeah.
Matt still hasn't watched it. And I've been imploring Matt to watch it for years at this point. Isn't Jean Smart? That was like the first moment for me where I was like, where Jean Smart was making this comeback. And I was like, fuck, I've missed Jean Smart so much. She is so damn good in that show. And Regina King, obviously, but.
Yeah, I mean, and this isn't you, but gay men in general, we love a woman when she's brand new and young and we love her old, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
People a couple years ago were like, I fucking always love Laura Dern. I'm like, for two decades, you didn't.
Yeah, where were you? Where were you during the dark days? Where were you during the cold, distant times where Hollywood wouldn't even answer the phone for Laura Dern?
They're like, call us when you're 60. You know what I mean? Like, you better be 20 and wet or on death's door. We have fucking nothing.
20 and wet.
20 and wet. It's actually quite queer, I would say, to stand someone in their middle career, middle era. Like, I am newly obsessed with Melanie Lynskey. And now that I'm watching Yellow Jackets, finally, I'm like, wow, I'm upset. I will watch every single interview you do. I will listen to that crazy Kiwi accent. She is so damn good. I love her.
She's
so much.
Genuinely one of the best actresses working. I mean, that she can do anything, and she has.
Yep.
Like, and that's what I love about like an actress like that popping off, is just that, like, thank God, like, that's why you stick with it, is this so that you can one day look back. Like, she could literally get like Lifetime Achievement Award, honestly, with everything that she's done. Under the radar. And now I hope
under
she
the
wins.
Radar.
I hope she wins the Emmy. Like, I know
I
people love,
I hope she wins.
Love like so many other of those, I guess, nominees, but like, come on, give it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like people like Melanie Lynskey, you're like, oh wow, she's in But I'm a Cheerleader. or like yeah. she's in
yes.
so many things.
Sweet Home in Alabama. She's been in everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
I mean, have you guys ever seen Heavenly Creatures, which was her movie that she was in with Kate Winslet when she was like, they were teenagers. And basically it's Peter Jackson and they play these like girls who are best friends in New Zealand. And they're like, they end up like killing their parents. They kill somebody. I haven't seen it in a really long time, but it's like very intense. And it's Melanie Lynskey and Kate Winslet. And I remember there was like an interview at some point that was like, Heavenly Creatures was an incredible experience, but it was really hard to see her then become Kate Winslet. And I was still like, you know, doing my thing. And like, you know, that movie, like they were equally acclaimed. Like, and it was just like that moment where you realize like, oh, I'm a character actress. I'm not this leading lady. Mm. Like it's going to be the hard yards for me and the years for me. And yeah. to see her now like get this moment is like, yes, thank God.
There's going to be a couple years where I'm updating my own Wikipedia. You know, but you know who I always think of that, not to bring it back to, I mean, I worship her. I always think of RuPaul because she basically, and this is said with love, she was like this huge, massive star, right? Icon. Mm-hmm. And then for like a decade doing her own
punchline,
not entertainment, not doing anything. Punchline. Yeah. Almost. Yeah. And then she showed up and she basically told a whole generation of people, in case you forgot, I am the most famous drag queen of all time. And this newest generation said, yes, you are.
Yeah.
When really, like, this is a complete compliment, and I hope nobody, you know, you could have said RuPaul at one time. You could have said, oh, it's like a cultural flash. Really, it's like a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
But same with Michelle. Like, Michelle was in Seduction, which I read her book. Before I did Queen of the Universe, I read her book because I don't know Michelle that well, and I said, I got to go in with something. She's best friends with all these drag queens, and I don't even know. We don't have that kind of friendship, and I got to have something to talk to her about. So I'm going to read her book. And she's in Seduction, which toured for like 2 years, major hits, giant festivals, and she's in such a bad contract with this girl group that she literally tours for 2 years and leaves with nothing. No money. Nothing. Mm. She doesn't own her masters. And then she has like a slow build through radio, and now she's a huge, massive star again. And I always think of them as like, when I used to listen to the RuPaul podcast, they would talk about how in entertainment, you have to mentally be ready for ebbs and flows. Because it's the only way to be resilient. I mean, but you also can't sit there and wonder, am I in the apex of my career? Am I in the beginning? Am I currently in the end of it? Because that's not helpful.
No.
And I think somebody like Melanie Lynskey, they probably just at the time were like, well, I'm going to do my best work and just try to do my best work. And who knows?
Yeah.
You know, if she hadn't done Yellow Jackets, we would have been like, why doesn't she act anymore? Even if she was currently acting, you know?
Totally. Totally. Speaking of RuPaul, have you publicly made any statements about this season or the winner, at least?
I just found out yesterday, you know, I mean, everybody knows this. If I'm not doing Pit Stop, I don't watch Drag Race. Everybody knows this. So right, I don't feel bad saying it. And I couldn't do Pit Stop because of Trixie Mottel and scheduling. They were basically you would have to watch the whole season in like 2 days. And I was like, there's no way.
You're missed, but Bob is great. You are missed, though.
Bob's amazing. Monet's amazing. Bob. I pride myself on elevating the Pit Stop to like a must watch post. I'm just going to say it, whatever. But I love them both though. And I love doing the Pit Stop. I'll say this and everybody can drag me. I'm obsessed with all those winners. Yeah. They are all amazing. When it comes to Jinx, we are comparing Superman to a room full of Batmans.
Yeah.
Everybody's amazing, but Jinx is unbelievable and unbeatable as far as talent, potent talent.
Right.
She's as funny as anyone. She's as beautiful as anyone.
Yep.
She can sing her face off.
Yeah.
Like, you can lose to Jinx, lose, and be like, I gave. She ate, but I gave.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But even though, you didn't watch the season, like, Trixie, she was, like, clearly the front runner the whole time, and yet she was still this compelling reality TV character that you would watch, and she would be like very endearing in the workroom, be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, she was very relatable even in her stature. Like, it was so interesting, and I loved it the whole time. Anyway, we're very happy that she won.
No, I gotta watch it because
it's really good.
She really does a great job. And the thing too, like, there's of course like going to be controversy whenever it's like the winner gets named, especially when everyone's this good and like it's a lip sync that determines the result. But like a lot of people have been on like and like sort of upset about the fact that we are deciding the winner with these lip syncs if they're not going to quote unquote matter. And I'm like, at that point, I'm like, wow, this fan base really goes in on the rules for All Stars. I'm like, y'all, this is a drag show and it's All Stars, RuPaul's Drag Race. We're all here to have fun. Like the people online, like dictating it, like it's like calling flag on the play. It is so funny to me because it's drag. It's like everyone gets a chance to shine. It's someone TV. Wins, you all get money. They all get paid to be on the show.
I mean, I don't have to tell you guys that I understand what it's like for the audience to get mad when you win yeah. even, based on the rules.
Yeah, right.
Like, so it's also funny because it's a room full of people who've won. These people yeah. don't even care if they win that much. I mean, let's be honest. Right. These people have all won. These people have all proved that, and this is also maybe shady, these people have all proved that winning also doesn't guarantee you a massive career. So some of them have proved that
right.
winning
right.
is sort of, it just happened and that's it. Yep. It's all of them individually. I've talked to all of them individually and all of them said, I had the best time. And yeah. I'm so proud of what good. I did.
They should all be.
And everybody's saying this is the best season. It's like the ultimate season. I just.
Would you do all winners if they did it again? If they asked?
No, never. Way. Not a gun to my head.
Just because you mm-hmm. really don't want to compete, period.
At all. And I'm also like not good at it. I mean, part of being a star is knowing if you can't do fan kicks, don't raise your hand and say, let me do my fan kick. You know what I mean? Like, I would not do well. And some of those people are just flat out, like, better drag queens than most people. Like, I'm good at doing Trixie. I'm not good at doing Drag Race, you know? And I mean, maybe it's cowardly, but I don't want to do it because it's stressful and I wouldn't do well.
No, so, also, you don't need it. I mean, like,
It has not limited you in any way.
No, and like, needing it, honestly, watching the girls say they had so much fun, that makes me want to do it because it's almost like, well, I want to go to summer camp. Like,
yeah, I want to go. Of course, like, it's a fun opportunity and you do get to look incredible and show yourself doing talent when it's an area that you really want to flex in. But ultimately, it's like, I guess the thing is, like, they must have said something to them because you have to imagine that other queens do feel similarly to you, which is like, well, if I come back, like, are you going to make me look fucking stupid? Because that's what a reality show is. And like, you do it to the All Stars all the time. Like, am I going to come and show one look? So they had to come and say, like, you will be in every episode. We will. I imagine they did approach you.
They did. Well, they said, hey, and they didn't tell me not to tell anyone, so I'm just going to say it. They said, hey, we are doing it all winners, and we know you don't really want to do it, but you're in the family, and we don't want you to feel excluded. Like, if you want to do it, we just want to extend the invitation. We know you're going to say no. And I said, yeah, I'm going to say no, but I said, thank you so much for inviting me, you know.
Mm, that's cool.
Because when I want to do something, I always do it. Celebrity Drag Race, the holidays, like, when I want to do it, I always do it. But I just didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I said, I appreciate you guys asking. Because, you know, I love doing and like, I consider myself a wow employee full time anyway. Yeah.
You're a wow girl.
I mean, I love Drag Race. And I turn up for World of Wonder. I think they've just, I mean, they don't give themselves flowers, but they really changed the world. I mean, they changed the world. I wouldn't have anything if they wouldn't have basically created an industry for me to participate in. You know?
Yeah.
The other thing is, in reality television, you can't tell people there's no Santa Claus, right? So even if they didn't tell anyone, we're going to make everyone look talented.
Yeah.
If Drag Race, if the American Idol said these winners are the best singers in the world, there's no way you would come back and they would ever make any of you look incompetent.
Yeah.
Because then you're going against the lore of the show.
Exactly.
So even if you flop, you're going to flop relatably, but you're not going to flop like, wow, you should have never won. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what would happen.
Well, you should have never won. They should have said that to everyone as they're leaving. If you didn't win, I guess what we have to say to you is, wow, we're really rethinking a lot.
And it's also sort of a study. What I like about it is, and again, I haven't watched it. What I like about it is, it's a little bit Hunger Games Quarter Quell. It's a little bit...
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Where it's people who are the best at their own thing, and we're throwing them into hypotheticals, and just for fun, we're going to compare and contrast, but nobody's better or worse than anyone.
So does that not convince you to go back then?
No, I mean, Drag Race is really hard. Nobody talks about it.
Of course.
But it's really physically, mentally hard. And I operate best in an environment where I do whatever I want and nobody evaluates me. And Drag Race is about doing what you're told and having it evaluated.
It's also like literally giving up your phone for a long time. Like, not the period.
Number one.
Period, the way you connect and communicate with other people, like, and the way that the fact that that's like such a part of it, they take it from you. The fact that you can't know what the news is, You can't know top news. You can't know that President Biden has contracted COVID.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't get to read the trades.
You don't know. You're not going to know what happens with Emma Watson next.
Yeah. And not to be gauche too, but it's also money. I mean, like even All-Stars 3, when I won, even winning, I think I lost money doing it because of the gigs I had to cancel. And
well, so when they said this was a $2 million investment in the show, I was like, well, this makes that $100,000 seem like chumper change.
It's hard. And, you know, part of what makes Drag Race good is that the contestants are expected to basically... Imagine if you were cast in a superhero movie and it was your job to bring the costume and the special effects.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually any of those drag queens. Really? I mean, any of those drag queens could wipe the floor with me. That I'm fine with. I'm fine with not doing as well as other people. But the work, you guys, I have nightmares about the preparation process of getting ready. Katya and I don't even aspire to doing that good of drag. The runways this season, I would always watch the runways and I'd be like,
yeah,
I wouldn't even know who to call to me.
Right. It's truly wild.
Preparation is like the most stressful part, period. Preparation.
For anything. Absolutely. Like the anticipation and, oh God, I hate rehearsing. Like, are you guys rehearsals queens?
Absolutely not.
Yes and no. I literally have to go to a rehearsal after this. And I'm really so scared.
I hate rehearsals.
So scared.
Like, honestly, like I'm rehearsing on Tuesday for something and it takes up 75% of my brain right now preparing to even rehearse. Once you do it, I'm always grateful and I do sometimes enjoy the process, but it's getting there and like, yeah, the mental like gymnastics for me.
I believe in like going in off book and all that. I believe in knowing your shit, but yeah, I don't believe in pounding it until you hate it. And then, because you guys do stand up, right?
Yeah.
Not really, but yeah, kind of.
Sometimes you go in too under rehearsed, but because you're on that like razor Tanya Harding blade, you actually perform better because you're like a little bit in hysterics that you're not prepared.
Right.
So I don't know.
It's thrilling.
I also think it's bogus when people say, I do my best work last minute. I'm like, no, that's not true either. But, you know, I don't know.
You've just procrastinated. That's all. That's what that means when someone says they do their best work last minute. Yeah.
And it's also, that's like a humble brag. It's like, I don't need to put in the time. Like, okay, girl.
Especially with stand up, it's like there's something in the adrenaline of having to trust fall that does make you perform a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in knowing your shit that makes you perform better. It's the balance, right?
I always feel like, it's just great to know how when I've been out there, I've been trying to get out there again. And it's just like, you really have to keep up your skills, like learning how to communicate with an audience. And that's the only thing that's like, you know, the pandemic, like sort of like that is something that you miss. Like just that thing as a performer of just knowing, like I have this down enough and like, I'm still speaking the same language as the audience, but I'm feeling like it's still spontaneous and natural. Yes. But it is, you do need the reps for that, but that's not rehearsal, honey. And honestly, if like that's, you get something out of that. Preparing to rehearse is just preparing to like stand in front of one other musician and be like, okay, hello. There's that like thing too of like needing the musical director or whoever it is, like the director of whoever it is, like your people you're going to be working with, like what are they going to bring?
I'm sure you guys feel this in anything live, you know, especially on SNL, I can imagine, but like you trust yourself to go out there. You know the material and you trust yourself to go out there blind. So whatever happens in the middle, you're like, why do I scare myself so much? I trust myself to go out there and deal with it. So
With SNL, it's that ideally by the time it's Saturday, you are on that razor's edge and you've prepared just enough for it to feel somewhat spontaneous and new. And it's still the novelty's still there. But I will say, I got chills just thinking about it now. The moment that you are in the chair on Weekend Update, before you get pushed out, the scariest feeling I've ever felt in my life, and it never gets easier. It's only the most terrifying sensation. Ooh, I hate it so much. And yet it's like part of the joy of it.
Yeah, it also has to be the fact that you're literally getting pushed. Is that a little bit of it? Like they're gonna thrust you out there. I mean, like
And you have a mark to hit. You have a mark to hit on the desk. There's tape. Like you have a mark to hit at the desk and you have to like catch yourself.
Weekend Update slide. I love that little thing when someone comes out and they have to find themselves. Like, and also I love when a performer can incorporate it. Like when Cecily as the late Ivana Trump comes out and she's like, ah, and she's like a little drunk. Like she incorporates the Weekend Update slide into her character. And also a genius performer.
I know you guys right probably there. Try to make it seem like it's not much travel. To me, it looks like that chair sliding 10 feet.
It really
is like up next. And you see this person swooped over,
Maryland.
It's a long travel. And you know what else? I was just talking to my friend about this. We were talking about like DJing or whatever. I feel like I used to think I can't wait to do the show and then find out if it's a good show afterward, like decide afterward if I did a good job. Whereas like not to be insane, you decide what kind of show it is before it even starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like really? Say tonight's going to be great and then it is great. Yeah. You don't find out.
I'm writing this down.
I mean, it is. What I try to remind myself of is like when you do go up there, it's going to be a moment in time and it's going to go how it's going to go. And then you're going to keep living your life and literally no one's going to think about it except for you if you even let yourself. So just go out there, enjoy the moment, let it be. And then like understand that, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Like it's not that deep. But that also varies.
And I think I used to pray for like a good performance or a good show, sort of like you hope the weather's good. Yeah. You'd be like, I hope tonight's good. How are they out there? Are they feeling it? And then I would ask the performers in front of me how they are. And honestly, not to be psychotic, I just think recently I'm like, how they are before I got up there has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Like I decide what kind of show they are about to have, which is why late at night when you blame the audience and late at night when you're in bed, you're like, it was me. I messed up. Especially in comedy, because you have to come out there shooting lasers and tell them exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Right.
And it's almost like freeing to be like, wow, I can decide that I'm going to have a good show. I don't have to hope it's good.
And also a way that you can like feel, a way that you can agree to make that decision and not have it be about like you, which is that like, if you are having fun, they're going to have fun. So you may as well, because that's literally the hack. You could go out there and be not great. But if you are having fun doing it and enjoying doing it, people are at least going to be like, well, we were glad to see them. You know what I mean? Like afterwards, they're not going to be like, what a waste of our time because you came out here, didn't know your stuff, and were bad energy. Like, at least bring the good energy. And then most of the time, you can fool them if your shit was, you know, a B+ that time.
Yeah, and on top of that, if you do everything you meant to do out there, but you don't have fun, there's a glass ceiling of how good it can really be.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, I don't have to tell you guys this, but I guess it's like, for me, it's how many years I've been performing, and I feel like I'm just now realizing, like, good shows don't happen to us like luck. We make the show good.
100%.
And we decide that before we go out there.
100%.
And that's the key. You know what? When I quit drag and makeup and motels, the way I'm going to be the Tony Robbins, like Trixie in like wind pants.
Yes.
If I ever get to do P-Town again, which I would love to do another full summer, I would love to do a headset, wind pants, like Tony Robbins, like the secret of you, like the secret of success. Like,
that should be your next special, honestly. You doing a Tony Robbins thing, that would be so funny.
Like PowerPoint really and almost like, but I'm weirdly selling timeshares at the same time. Like,
yes, I love it.
You know,
it should all funnel like, back to the Trixie
Motel.
Maybe
it starts out like the best part is it's all in you. You don't need anything. But then as it goes, I'm like introducing items you do need.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
love it.
There's something to the Tony Robbins thing, but also like there should be like a comedy version of like a Brene Brown talk, a Brene Brown lecture about like vulnerability or something. But it's purely comedic and like fucked up and stupid.
Like
and,
that kind of energy where of someone like, is standing there and they've been through it. You know what I mean? Like, and they're looking at you and this is what I want to share with you. And then it's like that slow pace. That is so funny. I love that for Trixie.
It's slow. I've always wanted to do it and I've always been waiting for the right time. But I think also like sort of like it's like wind pants and like a scrunchie. And sort of like the Cutco knives. Like, why are you afraid of your own success energy?
Wow.
You know, and it's sort of like roasting too. Like, well, look at this woman in the front row. She might not be pretty. You know, she might not be bright. You know.
It's a formal thing.
You cut the audience down. It's Scientology. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm saying I want to be a Scientologist.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for admitting that here. We're a huge sci-fi podcast. Las Culturistas is a sci-fi pod.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launch and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
I think it's time to move on to I Don't Think So, Honey. This is our 1 minute segment where we take some time, some allotted time, to rail against something in culture. Matt, do you have something?
I do. And the thing is, this is going to be a little off the cuff, but I feel like I need to say it.
Okay. Oh, I love that. That's sometimes that's the best. This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey's time starts now.
Okay. I Don't Think So, Honey, that I have an itch. I think it's monkeypox. Now this occupies so much space in my brain of, if literally right now, just now on my neck, I have a little bit of an itch, that means for the next at least 2 hours, I will fixate on having monkeypox. Isn't it? It's now become a thing where it's attacking our skin. And that doesn't sit right with me. I mean, this is something I'm getting the vax for. I hope the second shot this week. I somehow lucked into the first shot early, and I feel crazy about it. Like, but literally, I was out with other gay men sharing gay breath. I know I said I was going to swear off gay men for the rest of the summer, but I was around others last night, and there was that little itch on your head.
15 seconds.
You're thinking it's monkeypox, and aren't we all afflicted right now with this sort of, now it's come into our mental space, like the alien in Nope, a movie I didn't get to see this week, but read up on in case you wanted to talk about it. But I Don't Think So, Honey, the skin thing.
And that's 1 minute. Comparing monkeypox to the alien in Nope, spoiler alert.
It's out there trying to get us.
Now that's what I call monkeypox. Like that should be a CD. Also,
all the songs that were popular at this time. It's the Renaissance album.
And not to be damaged, but the people I keep seeing having it are really, really hot. And so part of me is like, until it comes for the fours and the fives, like I'm cool. You know what I mean? Until these people, as hot as they are, even people with open lesions on their face are not fucking me. So like, I think I'm cool for a while.
It's just so funny to see like a hottie with a little monkeypox, like, hi, I'm the face of this disease. And it's like one little like Enrique Iglesias mole.
They're sounding the alarm the loudest because the scarring is going to affect the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
And I get a scar and I'll look the same.
Yeah, for some of us, it could be punching up. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Finally, I'll be symmetrical.
Girl Bone, you have to protect your face because that retinol is popping. I was on the live with Bone the other day and your skin has never looked better, Diva.
Thanks, Diva. Oh, but if you got your first shot, I mean, the second shot is just to like prolong the immunity, but it's just as it's not changing the efficacy necessarily.
I'm feeling okay. I got railed last night. So you know what I mean?
Like, it's good for you.
I'm not thinking about it like too deep. But I'm concerned, and every time I do have a little itch, I'm like, oh well, I shouldn't have talked to that person or left the home.
Did he fuck? You're scratching your neck. Did he fuck your neck area? Like, what's the deal?
That man fucked my neck, Bowen. He came over here and fucked my neck. People need to start talking about it. You put a cock right here at the back of your neck. Rub it like firewood, hon. And worth it, Diva. And
yeah, remember when fucking people's like skin folds was considered safer sex? Yeah. Not anymore.
The frotting of it all. It's like not even. You're not even.
You
safe
can't even frotting. Frot.
You can't even
Damn.
Frot. Frotting is the highest risk practice.
Damn.
There well, you go.
Bowen, I think you're okay.
I'm okay. It's time for the Diva Dolls. I don't think so, honey. Bowen Yang, one of America's forefront young female stars. She is an Emmy nominee. She is shining bright. Retinol is doing her so well. She's actually on a film set right now. She's live from a film set. And it's time for her. I don't think so, honey. And your time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Advertising things as flushable wipes. I just found out about Fatbergs. Do y'all know about Fatbergs? It is these clumps of fat that are in the sewers that are basically like clumps of paper and like flushable wipes. It's almost all flushable wipes that are blocking the sewers. They are literally, Google it. And I'm so sorry, but you have to Google this so that you never once in... Again, flush anything down the toilet that's not
seconds.
Toilet paper. Fatbergs are all flushable wipes and they are destroyed. I don't have anything besides that besides this warning to tell everybody you cannot flush these things down the toilet. It's like saying monkeypoxless dick. If you have monkeypox, it's you cannot do it. It is actually destroying the infrastructure makes society function. If the sewers go, then everything goes. That's tea. That's the truth.
And that's 1 minute. The fact
Let's
that
have
you
that conversation.
The fact that
Let's
you have that conversation. Teresa's just said, if the sewers go, everything goes. The fact that that's where we're at as a country. I have to say, you have shook me to my core, and I don't know if I'm willing to give up the flushable wipes. And I think this is my Taylor Swift carbon emissions moment.
Wait, do you have it? Wait, do you have a tushy?
No, Mama.
I don't have a tushy.
Okay, get a tushy. Oh, get a sponsorship for this podcast. Get a tushy. You will never have to buy toilet paper again. You don't even have to touch your own asshole.
I love it. I want to, though.
That's when I feel the most like I want to finger myself, too, like right after I shit.
Yeah, because you're like, ooh.
I'm like, ooh, vacancy, you know.
I know I'm safe here.
Yeah.
Ooh, vacancy.
All right. Well, this is Trixie Mattel's I Don't Think So, Honey. Trix, are you ready?
Yeah.
Your time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey signatures. Why are we pretending like my signature is some seal that no one could duplicate?
Right.
Oh, well, he signed it, so it's authenticated. We all know the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the same four names. Unless you're... Even if I don't, I know how to spell Bowen.
Like,
why are we pretending... This isn't Laura Ingalls Wilder. This isn't Benjamin Franklin. This isn't the Declaration of Independence. The fact that we think a signature... Writing your name, which is something you learn in kindergarten, is a binding legal gesture. What are we talking about? Like, How was that? Well, I signed it, so I really meant it. Mm. What if someone else signed it? We all can write each other's names. We all can write anyone's
15
name.
15 seconds.
It would be like if we all had the same fucking bank account number. Like, what are we talking about? Give me like a blood prick. Give me a little microchip in the hand. Like, 5 seconds. If your dog gets lost, there's a chip. Give me a chip. Give me chips.
And that's 1 minute. You know,
thank you.
Sometimes you I'll go to a restaurant and the way that I'll sign my name, anyone could have done it. The way that I sign my name on those checks, sometimes I just simply, you're going to be really freaked out. I'll just take the pen and sort of do that. I mean, I'll draw a line and they'll accept it.
She's right.
America has a problem. She's right.
America has a problem.
America has a problem.
But Trixie, it seems like maybe you're speaking from a place of shame about your own signature. Like maybe you don't like the way it looks.
You have a flop signature?
No. Well, the kicker is I always wanted to be famous. I used to spend my youth spelling. I'd write my name 100 times a day.
We've all done that.
And then ultimately I got famous for a different name. So that.
Stupid. I want you to sign. You should start signing Steph Brian Furcus.
Once in a while, I'll have a brain. Katya and I, and she'll go, I just signed the name Brian. I go, I guess run with it. Like, write your real name. No, authenticate
on checks and stuff, you must write your real name. I mean, Brian Furcus is probably a name that gets used all the time and we just don't know it.
It's a great name.
Nobody has my name and it is nice for that reason. Like my partner's name is David Silver, which there's probably a billion.
Matt Rogers here. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think signatures are bogus. I'm always like, why is this proving it's me? Mm-hmm. What is that?
I don't know. But, you know, it's the only way we could have verified identities back in the day, like as of 20 years ago. And now that we're in this brave new world, it feels like it's irrelevant. Oh, but by the way, you saying gesture made me think of that florist guy who was on Trixie Mottel. And Cobra Lily, the hottest guy I've ever seen in my life. Crazy.
So his name's Jake. Follow him on the internet. Jake. At Cobra Lily. His flowers are beautiful and he is fucking gorgeous.
It's always the florists and the jewelers that are the hottest gay men in the world, in any country. And I go, what is up with this? Jewelry and flowers. It's like the dainty, pretty things that attract like the hottest people. It's crazy. Crazy.
And sober people.
Mm. And sober people. And they're at risk for monkeypox the most.
There's something different about him. He's like, oh, he's sober. I'm like, oh, that's why he's like hot and nice. Okay, yeah. Got it. Like,
okay. And seems calm.
Yeah.
Hot, nice, and seems calm, insane. Functional. He's sober. Interesting.
Oh, no, sober people are definitely insane. And I think they'll admit it. They'll admit it.
Right.
You heard it here first.
Well, this was yet again another fucking blockbuster. The series Trixie Mottel, all the episodes are streamable now. And you can stay in the goddamn hotel. And when I tell you, I mean, I'm looking at November.
If you guys actually want to come, can you tell us when? And we could probably work out some kind of like block off the days for you so you can get the space for yourself and your friends, you know.
We'll be in touch.
Okay. Okay.
From Rayos to here to all over the world. Thank you.
Congratulations on your continued success. People love your pod and you just keep it so fun.
Icon.
Well, thanks for coming
Podcasting
back.
Podcasting is fun.
It is.
It is.
We end every single episode, Bo and Yang, with a song. I was waiting to see if you'd have the instinct.
You're red. You're the ultimate.
Yes. Automatic.
I'm sure of it. No lies. Don't even try. Tell me that you're not the guy. Because I've been waiting all my life. You're the ultimate.
Why was that in your head?
Because there are a couple songs on the album, on the double LP, that are giving Freaky Friday.
And that soundtrack's why you amazing.
It's an amazing soundtrack. No fucking skips on that one. Ooh.
And stream the Blonde and Pink albums.
And stream the Blonde and Pink albums.
Yes,
excellent.
No
bye.
Skips. Swear to God.
Swear to God.
Oh my God.
Bye.
We love you.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and
all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.